Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, July 1st, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the stock sell-off continues after the worst first half in more than 50 years.
The Fed is in focus as a top Republican says the central bank needs more transparency.
Bitcoin claws back losses as the digital currency seeks to rebound from its worst month ever.
Police in Newark are investigating a shooting that left 9 people wounded, plus New York City debuts a new DNA gun unit. Catch criminal. I'm Mike Lamar. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. Kevin Durant wants out. The latest on NBA free agency and the Yankees fell in Houston. That's all coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Informatica. In the cloud, your data has the power to do the extraordinary. Manage data across any location in the cloud for accurate and actionable insights. More at Informatica.com.
And futures are lower this morning. It is 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 14 points. Dow futures down 120, and NASDAQ futures down 47. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 2.99%. And the yield on the 2-year, 2.91%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3% at $107.14 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, as we head into this second half, another bout of risk aversion is rippling across markets, sending futures lower along with Treasury yields. The S&P 500 had its worst first half since 1970 as inflation and fears of recession take hold. But Brent Schuette, chief investment officer at Northwestern Mutual, has a positive outlook for the second half.
I think you're already starting to see signs of inflation pulling back. The market is already showing you that they believe it's going to pull back. And I think that backdrop will lead to a stronger second half for stocks because we won't have to worry about the Fed continuing to hike us so far into a recession. We certainly could have a recession, but it would be very, very mild. And I think the market's already discounted that.
Brent Schuette with Northwestern Mutual thinks the biggest risk to markets right now is rising energy prices and the war in Ukraine.
Well, U.S. futures are lower, Nathan. It's more of a mixed picture across the pond in Europe. And Bloomberg's Ewan Potts joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Plenty of sunshine in London this morning as July gets underway, but a damp start to the month for equities, with Europe's Stoxx 600 up 0.1% on lower than average volumes. Damp, certainly an improvement on the powerful storm that was the first 6 months of the year. It was the worst first half of the Stoxx 600 since 2008, the European benchmark shedding 17% of its value between January and June. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Yeah, kind of grey skies in Asia as well, Ewan, with the looming economic slowdown driving another bout of risk aversion there as well. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us with more from Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index started the new trading month, quarter and half, where it finished off in the red. The gauge fell for a third session, led lower by Japan, and tech stocks hit hardest on growth concerns. Taiwan's TAIEX on track to enter a bear market, down 20% from its January peak. Stocks in mainland China meandered between gains and losses, and Hong Kong was closed for a holiday. The yen climbed while commodity-linked currencies were on the back foot, and India's rupee dropped to a record low. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Well, oil chalked up its first monthly decline since November. Lower consumer spending in the U.S. and fears of a recession were pushing prices down. Prices are higher this morning. NYMEX crude oil up 1.4%, up $1.47 at $107.25 a barrel. Brent is up 1.5% at $110.68.
Well, let's look at crypto now, Karen. Fresh off its biggest ever monthly decline, Bitcoin's whipsawing traders today. Bloomberg Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Bitcoin rallied as much as 11% in Asia earlier today. It quickly gave up most of those gains as global equities took a dive. Bitcoin's wild swings underscore the uncertainty looming over cryptos as investors struggle to assess how far central banks will go to tame inflation. And adding to that confusion, major crypto players have been thrown into disarray by the market sell-off. That's raising the prospect of further contagion. Right now, Bitcoin is trading around 20,000. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. We turn to Washington now, where the top Republican on the banking committee says the economy faces a significant risk of recession. Pat Toomey points to the Federal Reserve, saying the central bank has taken a position where they're not accountable to anyone.
We have the situation where the Fed is basically stonewalling Congress. The regional banks and to some extent the main Fed are taking the position that what we do is none of your business. We're an independent agency. You can't really look very closely on what we do. That's outrageous, right? The Fed exists as a creature of Congress.
Senator Pat Toomey said the Fed must be more transparent and is subject to greater congressional oversight. He spoke with David Westin on Bloomberg's Balance of Power. Catch the program weekdays at noon on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, staying in Washington, Karen, fallout from this week's January 6th committee hearing remains front and center. Co-chair Liz Cheney says the Secret Service agents involved in the reported incident with former President Donald Trump will now testify. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Cheney says she wants them under oath.
The committee has spoken to both Mr. Ornato and Mr. Engel. We welcome additional testimony.
And says the committee will also detail witness intimidation by the White House.
The way that I would put it is that it gives us a real insight into how people around the former president are operating.
And that they can influence the testimony of witnesses before the committee. She says it will draw a clear picture. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Turning to Hong Kong now, where Chinese President Xi Jinping is presiding over celebrations marking 25 years since the UK returned Hong Kong to China. Former police official John Lee has been sworn in as the city's chief executive. The ceremony comes as Hong Kong sees China tighten its grip on the city.
In Ukraine, Karen, Russian missile strikes hit an apartment building and a recreation center near Odessa earlier today. 17 people were killed. It comes after Moscow withdrew forces from the strategic point of Snake Island. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is welcoming Russia's departure. Moscow says it was a move to ease grain shipments. Kyiv says Russia was forced out by shelling. Futures moving lower this morning, and straight ahead we have your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 73 degrees in Central Park. We've got a closure on the northbound sawmill in the Bronx. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said she will convene a special session of the legislature today to begin considering legislation enshrining abortion access in the state's constitution. Hochul says the state will take action to protect its people in response to Supreme Court rulings on abortion rights and gun safety. It comes as New York lawmakers began a special legislative session yesterday with the intent of limiting the proliferation of firearms in public after the high court gutted the state's century-old handgun licensing law. New rules being rushed through an emergency session of the legislature would seek to set new restrictions on where firearms can be carried. Police in New Jersey say 9 people, including a teenager, were wounded last evening in gunfire outside a neighborhood grocery shop in Newark. Acting Newark Public Safety Director Paul Malov says police are searching for a vehicle believed to have been involved in the shooting.
We do have a vehicle that is of interest at this point. It's a white Honda Pilot stolen out of Jersey City, and we're following that lead.
Public Safety Director Malov says all of the victims are expected to survive. New York Mayor Eric Adams says the city has launched what he calls the country's first ever forensic DNA gun crime unit. Adams says the new unit with the city medical examiner's office in Manhattan will be made up of 24 full-time criminologists who will process evidence.
State-of-the-art unit will accelerate evidence testing from 60 days to 30 days. It's going to cut it in half so that we can prosecute case faster and get dangerous people off our streets.
Medical experts say they think COVID could come roaring back in the fall. Mayor Adams also says New York City announced a new test to treat mobile unit. It's in a joint federal and city program to improve access to the COVID antiviral drug Paxlovid.
This new public health service will help all New Yorkers get access to life-saving treatments.
Mayor Adams says the city hopes to open nearly three dozen mobile units by the end of this month. WNBA star Brittany Griner is set to go on trial today in a Moscow area court. Griner was arrested on cannabis possession charges at a Russian airport. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. And we're coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, Nathan. The bombshell that rocked the NBA world yesterday. Kevin Durant has requested a trade away from the Nets. The surprise announcement comes just a day after Kyrie Irving announced he was opting in to the final year of his deal. Durant has 4 years remaining on his contract. Meanwhile, the Knicks have come to an agreement with free agent point guard Jalen Brunson on a 4-year, $104 million deal. Elsewhere, reigning two-time MVP Nikola Jokic has agreed to a max extension with the Nuggets. It's the largest deal in NBA history. Also getting max extensions, Devin Booker with the Suns, Ja Morant with the Grizzlies, and Karl Anthony Towns with the Timberwolves. Baseball yesterday, the Yankees fell to the Astros 2-1. They'll begin a set in Cleveland tonight. The Mets will host the Rangers. Tennis at Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal, Iga Swiatek advance. Americans Coco Gauff and Jessica Pegula move on. Sixth seed Carolina Pliskova was upset. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Scott, thanks a lot. Getting ready to start off the second half of 2022, and futures, at least for the moment, are pointing to even more losses after the worst first half for stocks. Yes, we'll say it again. Since 1970, right now S&P futures are down 8 points. Dow futures down 72. NASDAQ futures are lower by 24 points. Different story overseas. The DAX in Germany is higher by 0.4%. The CAC in Paris is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury back here in the U.S. is up 4/32. The yield now at 2.99%. We'll look ahead to the second half and the risks of inflation and a potential slowdown, if not a recession. Kit Jukes, chief FX strategist at SocGen, joins us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Late day shower, thunderstorm possible today. Low 90s will be in the upper 80s tomorrow. Low 80s Sunday. Sunshine and 85 for the 4th of July. Right now, 73 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Another bout of risk aversion rippling across global markets, sending U.S. stock index futures lower and lifting bonds in an ominous start to the second half. The dollar and yen, traditional havens, are climbing. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 7 points. Dow futures down 56. NASDAQ futures down 20. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32. Yield 2.98%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.91%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.8% of $1.88 at $107.64 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $11.70 at $17.95.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0457 against the dollar. British pound 1.2096. The yen 135.45, and Bitcoin this morning is higher, up 4% at 19,500. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Ukrainian authorities say there was a Russian missile attack today on residential buildings in a coastal town near the port city of Odessa. At least 17 people were killed, including two children. The top Republican on the House January 6th committee, Congresswoman Liz Cheney, says the panel may ask the Justice Department to investigate anyone accused of pressuring witnesses. Florida's parental rights and education law that critics have dubbed the Don't Say Gay measure begins today. It bans teaching on gender identity or sexual orientation in grades K through 3 in the state. In baseball, the Yankees lost along with the A's. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and as we get ready to kick off the second half of 2022, we're very pleased to be joined this morning by Kit Jukes,
chief FX strategist at Societe Generale. Although when you look at the screen this morning, Kit, it looks like at least U.S. investors are having a little bit of trouble closing the books on the first half. We're pointing to more losses in the futures contracts. How much more pricing in of recession risk and inflation concerns does this market have to go?
We could go a fair distance further, unfortunately, before we're done. One of the things you see at the moment is that sentiment has taken a real dive, but I'm not sure that the positioning data reflects the same thing. So I'm not sure people have got out of all of those longer positions that they had in stocks particularly. But equally, I think we've got relatively illiquid markets coming through. And, you know, now that certainly your government is, or your central bank is selling back bonds to the market, we have a lot to absorb here to get the pace to get everything to the right place. So I'm nervous that July, August, never the best, most liquid months of the year are going to be pretty bumpy all the way through. Not that people are surprised by the fact that consumer confidence is weak, for example, and that we're all struggling with the rise in inflation, but just that we just have to absorb the selling pressure that's coming to us.
And we just got new inflation data out this morning from the Eurozone, some of the highest inflation that the 19 countries that share the euro have seen in their history, 8.6%. What's the difficulty for Europe compared to the U.S. when it comes to getting the reins in on these price pressures?
Look, I think the problem is going to be faced by everybody in more or less the same way, that policymakers who've had central banks have had a relatively easy ride for 20 years in terms of inflation. They couldn't get enough of it. Now they're facing this kind of multitude of factors driving, keeping inflation high. Some of them they can't do much about. They can't control the price of gasoline. They can't control the price of jet fuel, which we can all see being pushed up by oil prices, but also by the difficulties getting the rest of the products produced and out in sufficient quantities. We're going to see some pressure on wages. There's a shortage post-pandemic of people to serve you at a bar or of people to put your luggage into your airplane for you to go on vacation. That's going to be around. That's going to get passed on, and we'll see more of that. That will be solved, the second kind of problem, with weaker growth. Higher rates will slow the economy down in Europe and in the United States. Where we'll have a dilemma is that we're seeing softer growth and higher inflation, and the central banks are facing really much harder choices, and that they're not going to have a good time of it. I suspect, though, in this occasion, they're going to be resolute. So we'll see rate hikes in July from both the European Central Bank and, for that matter, the Bank of England and the Federal Reserve, that they'll raise rates into what is clearly a cooling economy now.
Yeah, I don't think we're hearing much anymore about the idea that these inflation pressures are transitory. But what do you think it's going to take? How long do you think we're going to be dealing with a lot of these price pressures that, as you say, are outside of central bankers' control? Things like the supply chain bottlenecks, the issues with energy, with the war in Ukraine still continuing.
I think those, some of those get easier as growth slows. So you hit the economy hard enough, we do stop driving around so much pretty quickly. I don't know whether I sit here in Europe and watch massive queues of people trying to get into airports, which are short of staff to check people in and to get luggage onto planes and stuff. We might use a lot of jet fuel to go on vacation this summer because we promised the kids we were going. We might all stay home all the way through till Christmas after that. And so you could see demand come off quite a lot. But if we take Russia out of the equation on energy supplies to a significant degree, then the reality will be that it's going to take a lot of economic weakness to reduce demand. In fact, it's almost impossible to reduce demand by enough to solve that. And getting more jet fuel and so on produced, frankly, we need more investment in the industry, and we haven't seen much of that. So those will take time. What we'll probably see is that at least prices stabilize, come off a little bit, so the year-over-year moves in inflation start improving somewhat, but they're almost bound to settle down at a higher than they used to be, pretty high plateau. Sometime in the early part of next year, they'll sort of steady out at a level that's still not what we'd like, and the central banks, I fear, will feel that this is a battle they have to win, and hammer inflation lower, for a fairly long time.
Yeah, very tough job ahead for central bankers. Thanks for this, Kit. Great getting your thoughts. Kit Jukes, Chief FX Strategist at Societe Generale. S&P futures down 6 points. More losses potentially in store for equity investors in the U.S. Dow futures down 57 points and NASDAQ futures on the decline by 16 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, hot one, could see a late day shower or storm today with highs in the low 90s. Some storms possible tomorrow and the next day, but we're expecting a sunny and mid 80s, 4th of July. Right now, 73 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Another bout of risk aversion is rippling across markets this morning, sending U.S. futures and Treasury yields lower. The S&P 500 had its worst first half since 1970 as inflation and fears of a recession take hold. But Brent Schuette, Chief Investment Officer at Northwestern Mutual, has a positive outlook for the second half.
I think the big risk still is certainly what's happening in Russia and Ukraine and energy prices and how long those stay where they're at. And are we, typically, are we going to be in more of an energy shock for some period of time? That certainly has had a staying power on inflation so far. But I think you're starting to see everything else kind of depreciate around it, which I think is a good news for inflation. But certainly that is still one of the bigger risks that's out there.
Brent Schuette with Northwestern Mutual believes the biggest risk to markets right now is rising energy prices and the war in Ukraine.
Well, oil's coming off its first monthly decline since November this morning, Karen. Lower consumer spending in the U.S. and fears of recession did push crude down, but checking prices now, NYMEX crude's higher by 1.6%, up $1.67, $107.43 for a barrel of West Texas Intermediate, and Brent right now is at $110.87.
Well, Nathan, fresh off its biggest ever monthly decline, Bitcoin is whipsawing traders with wild swings today. And Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bitcoin rallied as much as 11% in Asia earlier today. It quickly gave up most of those gains as global equities took a dive. Bitcoin's wild swings underscore the uncertainty looming over cryptos as investors struggle to assess how far central banks will go to tame inflation. And adding to that confusion, major crypto players have been thrown into disarray by the market sell-off. That's raising the prospect of further contagion. Right now, Bitcoin is trading around 19,000. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Okay, Renita, thanks. Let's turn to Washington now, where there's more fallout from this week's January 6th committee hearing. Vice Chair Liz Cheney says the Secret Service agents who were involved in that reported incident with former President Donald Trump will now testify before Congress.
Well, overseas, Nathan, Chinese President Xi Jinping has presided over celebrations marking 25 years since the U.K. returned Hong Kong to China. Former police official John Lee has been sworn in as the city's chief executive.
And in Ukraine, Karen, Russian missile strikes hit an apartment building and recreation center near Odessa earlier today, killing 18 people. That comes after Moscow withdrew forces from the strategic point of Snake Island. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 5:33 on Wall Street, where it's 73 degrees in Central Park. It's still dealing with a closure of the northbound sawmill in the Bronx. We'll get the details in traffic. First, Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul said she will convene a special session of the legislature today to begin considering legislation enshrining abortion access in the state's constitution. According to a statement overnight from Hochul, the state will take action to protect its people in response to Supreme Court rulings on abortion rights and gun safety. Hochul went on to say recent Supreme Court rulings have threatened the rights of New Yorkers to make decisions about their own bodies and our right to protect New Yorkers from gun violence. It comes as New York lawmakers began a special legislative session yesterday with the intent of limiting the proliferation of firearms in public. New rules would seek to set new restrictions on where firearms can be carried. Authorities in Newark, New Jersey say 9 people were shot in a suspected drive-by shooting. Investigators say they're looking for a white Honda Pilot stolen out of nearby Jersey City. Newark's acting public safety director, Raul Malave.
5 of the shooting victims were able to get themselves to an area hospital on their own. Out of those 5, one of them was a juvenile, 17 years old. All of those victims are in stable condition.
Public Safety Director Malave says all of those shot are expected to survive. New York Mayor Eric Adams calls it the country's first ever forensic DNA gun crime unit as the city remains on edge over a number of shootings. Adams spoke at a news conference outside the medical examiner's office in Manhattan.
The $2.5 million unit will hire, train 24 forensic scientists dedicated to testing and analyzing of evidence from gun crimes throughout the 5 boroughs.
Mayor Adams says the unit will accelerate evidence testing from 60 days to 30 days. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed a bill extending mayoral control over the New York City school system. It cements a key power for Mayor Adams just minutes before it was set to expire. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, Nathan. As NBA free agency begins, the Nets received the news yesterday that Kevin Durant requesting a trade. The announcement coming just a day after Kyrie Irving announced that he was opting in to the final year of his deal. Durant does have 4 years remaining on his contract. Meanwhile, the Knicks have come to an agreement with free agent point guard Jalen Brunson on a 4-year, $104 million deal. Elsewhere, reigning 2-time MVP Nikola Jokic has agreed to a max extension with the Nuggets. It's the largest deal in NBA history. Also getting max extensions, Devin Booker with the Suns, John Morant with the Grizzlies, and Karl Anthony Towns with the Timberwolves. Baseball yesterday, the Yankees fell to the Astros 2-1. Here was Aaron Boone.
You know, they've done a good job of, for the most part, holding us down. And, that's going to happen sometimes against good teams.
The Yankees begin a set in Cleveland tonight. The Mets will host the Rangers. Tennis at Wimbledon, Rafael Nadal, Iga Swiatek advance. Americans Coco Gauff and Jessica Pegula move on. 6-seed Karolina Pliskova was upset. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, Scott, thank you. We're coming up to 5:37 on Wall Street. It's time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York State has rejected the renewal permit for a power plant used by Green Ridge Generation Holdings for Bitcoin mining. That decision comes after months of delays. The Department of Environmental Conservation says it denied the application because of statewide limits on greenhouse gas emissions. 11 Madison Park explored raising hourly wages by 33% in September, but scrapped those plans after a negative New York Times review, according to Business Insider. The restaurant, which ranked number one on the world's best 50 restaurant list in 2017, planned to announce wage and menu price hikes in an op-ed piece that was never published. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has signed a $51 billion spending plan with property tax relief and a full pension payment for the second year. The budget, which is for the fiscal year starting July 1st, is 35% higher than Murphy's first in 2018. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. It's almost 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about how advertisers are flocking to streaming services as fewer people watch traditional TV.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KFAB listeners in Omaha the weather in the next few months will determine
whether global food inflation slows down.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that hair salon owner Regis has sold its Open Salon Pro booking app to Zenoti.
I'm Lise Mateo, and on WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on a new trend in the electric vehicle market, car flipping.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on travel chaos at Europe's airports, dashing hopes for a bumper summer season.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting most U.S. automakers will report second quarter sales results today.
And those are some of the stories that our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For decades, U.S. companies have been making a significant omission in their financial statements, the full cost of their contributions to climate change. This matters not only for the planet's future, but also for investors today. It makes some businesses look more profitable than they really are, and it prevents others from realizing the value of new and greener opportunities. The Securities and Exchange Commission wants to address this by requiring better disclosure of climate-related costs and risks. Its proposal is an excellent idea, requiring only minor adjustments. No doubt full financial recognition of climate change will be a challenge for corporate America, creating new winners and losers. But the sooner the process gets started, the less disruptive it will be. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures pointing to more losses as we head into the second half. Right now, S&P futures are down 10 points. Dow futures down 83. NASDAQ futures are lower by 36 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield right now, 2.98%. Bloomberg 1130 weather, hot, maybe stormy later today, low 90s, will be in the upper 80s tomorrow, low 80s Sunday. Sunshine finally returns for the 4th of July. How about that? 73 degrees right now.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Another bout of risk aversion rippling across global markets, sending U.S. stock index futures lower and lifting bonds in an ominous start to the second half of 2022. The 10-year U.S. Treasury yield sliding below 3% at the lowest since early June. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now down about 8 points. Dow futures down 67 and NASDAQ futures down 35. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 2.98%, and the yield on the 2-year, 2.91%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.8%, up $1.88 at $107.64 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.7%, or $12, at $17.95.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.0462 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2082. And the yen's at 135.52. Bitcoin is up 3.8% at $19,450. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. At least 17 people are dead after Ukrainian authorities say there was a Russian missile attack on residential buildings in a coastal town near the port city of Odessa. Two of the dead are children. President Biden is urging the U.S. Senate to change its filibuster rules to respond to the landmark Supreme Court abortion rights ruling. In response, Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell said the president's statement undermines justice and the rule of law. In baseball, the Yankees lost along with the A's. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we want to turn to an important event overseas. Hong Kong is marking 25 years since the handover of the former British colony back to Chinese rule. President Xi Jinping is promising a new era of order will bring a brighter future to a city that has been rocked in recent years by social unrest and, of course, the shocks from the pandemic. Joining us live from Hong Kong this morning is Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann with more on Xi's visit and the future of this global financial hub. Yvonne, good morning. It's pretty significant just for President Xi to be in town after spending the last nearly 3 years on the mainland. What more did he have to say about his vision for Hong Kong?
Well, what struck me the most, Nathan, was just the positivity that he was projecting in this speech. He was very optimistic and essentially tried to pivot the city away from what has been a political storm in the last few years. You've talked about the political dissent that has essentially been crushed now, 2 years of the day that we have seen this national security legislation be imposed. But he talked about moving from chaos to governance. Seemed to be kind of a sideswipe on Carrie Lam, the former chief executive, during her tumultuous term. And really defending this crackdown on the democracy movement, saying that after the storm, Hong Kong is reborn from the ashes. He focuses more now on prosperity, he says, the economy, and that hopefully the Hong Kong can move away from what has been a very tumultuous time. And about this relationship kind of between government and market should be better balanced. It seems like it was kind of a warning shot to some of the real estate tycoons here that sort of kind of have a very tight grip on the real estate market here. So certainly there was a lot of messages here, but in terms of policies and what this means for the future of Hong Kong as an international hub, I think most were pretty disappointed that we didn't get much on that front.
Yeah, I wanted to ask whether the business community shares that optimism that President Xi is trying to project here. What's the feel among global business leaders who have headquarters in Hong Kong still about where things stand now with the imposition of this national security law?
I think we've been speaking to a lot of foreign chambers here that seem to be cautiously optimistic that now that there is this new administration, that perhaps this is a sign for Hong Kong can try to rebuild itself and really try to rebuild its competitiveness as a Hong Kong international hub, I should say. But the key crucial thing for the business community still remains not so much national security, but more about Hong Kong's COVID zero strategies. We've seen a lot of flip-flopping during Carrie Lam's term. There is still no exit plan from the central government nor from John Lee's new government as well. And they say in order for the financial world to continue, for people to be traveling in and out and doing business here, that is still essential. So I think for the next 5 years, Xi Jinping says it is critical that during this term that John Lee delivers. And he talks about the uniqueness of Hong Kong and that, you know, Beijing does support that. So what that means when it comes to COVID zero strategies, I think it still remains TBD at this point, Nathan, but I think in terms of answers on that, that is still the priority among businesses here.
What more do we expect from the new chief executive of Hong Kong, John Lee? Are we expecting that he's going to be much change in terms of stance toward Beijing from Carrie Lam, who I think was seen as pretty loyal to the Beijing government, right?
Right. And if you take a look at John Lee, He has a career in law enforcement and security. He was the one that oversaw the implementation of this national security law. So there is also this sort of perception that national security will remain a top priority under his term. But when you hear from other foreign chambers saying that when they have met with John Lee, because he has no track record with finance, with the economy, with social issues like housing, for example, that perhaps he's more willing to listen. So what we heard was that he's a bit more pragmatic and willing to listen to the concerns from the foreign business community here. So perhaps that's why they still remain hopeful that there could be some changes along the way. But then again, you know, national security, that still remains something in the back burner for now. I think once we do hear more clarity on the COVID zero front, you know, the issues of data security, the like, will start to reemerge again.
Thanks for this, Yvonne. Good having you with us this morning. Yvonne Mann joining us live from Hong Kong on the 25th anniversary of the handover from the UK. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. And now for a legal story we're watching this morning. On the last day of the term, the Supreme Court cleared the way for the Biden administration to end Trump's Remain in Mexico policy, which required asylum seekers to stay in Mexico while their cases are processed. The court was divided 5-4 as Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh joined with the three liberal justices in the majority. For more on the decision, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight and former head of the Office of Immigration Litigation at the Justice Department.
How much of a victory is this for the Biden administration?
Well, it's an interesting victory in the sense that it's a victory that comes with strings attached to it. And here's what I mean. So the Biden administration, first of all, gets a 90% victory on being able to end the Remain in Mexico Migration Protection Protocol program because the order of the lower court enjoining the ending of that program is now vacated. So that now means that unless the lower court is willing to re-enter that order under different circumstances that we can discuss in a second, at the moment, the Biden administration can end the migrant protection protocols. The reason why I say it's a victory with strings attached is, number one, there may be litigation that changes other things about this program that might hurt the immigrant rights community and the Biden administration. But secondly, now there will be a lot of pressure on the Biden administration to expedite the appeal to end Title 42, which is something they may not want to do, which, as you may recall, is the authority being used to exclude people from entering across the southern border because of COVID, where right now the numbers are pretty high on terms of people trying to enter the southern border.
In the opinion of my Chief Justice John Roberts, how did he come to the conclusion that the Biden administration didn't have to keep the Remain in Mexico program ongoing?
The issue is that the statute says, very clearly uses the word may, meaning that if you cannot detain someone who you encounter at the southern border, you may then place them in this Remain in Mexico program and move them into Mexico awaiting asylum hearings. It doesn't say shall. It doesn't say if there's not detention space, you have to use this Remain in Mexico program. And so what Justice Roberts says in his decision is because it says may, you can't read a shall into this. There's no way to read that there's a requirement that if there's not detention space, you have to do this.
And that's Leon Fresco, a partner at Holland & Knight, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And futures this morning, while they have been trimming their declines here, S&P futures are now little change. Dow futures down 33 and NASDAQ futures are down 9. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5% and the 10-year treasury up 8/32. They yield 2.98%. The yield on the 2-year 2.91%. NYMEX crude oil is on the rise, up about 2% now, up $2.11 at $107.87 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.7% at $17.95.10 an ounce. That's down more than $12. The euro 1.0459 against the dollar. The yen at 135.6. And still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.